Hi, I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! For more than 15 years, CJSF 90.1 FM has been bringing Democracy Now! To the greater Vancouver area every weekday at 11 a.m. This is Democracy Now!
The little ones, they scream. We are used to the sound of shelling, to the sound of gunfire. We are used to it. It has become the norm, but the little ones, I cannot bear seeing them like that, torn apart.
Hundreds of thousands of Palestinians are fleeing Gaza City as Israeli ground forces move in. We'll get an update. Then Utah's formally charged the alleged killer of Charlie Kirk with murder.
Calling case 251-403-576. State of Utah versus Tyler James Robinson. Could you state your name?
Tyler James Robinson.
We'll speak to Wired reporter McKenna Kelly. Her latest piece is headlined, Bullets Found After the Charlie Kirk Shooting Carried Messages. Here's what they mean. Then to Memphis, President Trump has signed an order authorizing the deployment of National Guard troops to the city. We'll speak to Tennessee State Representative Justin Pearson.
We need poverty eradication, not military occupation. Because of this, the white supremacist, authoritarian dictator wannabe of Donald Trump is using Memphis as a test case for taking and stripping away power from black communities.
And we remember the late Robert Redford in his own words. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Israel's intensifying its bombing of Gaza City after ordering the evacuation of nearly 1 million residents. Speaking to Al Jazeera, residents report explosions and the destruction of homes, as well as naval boats joining tanks and jets in Israel's assault. According to medical sources in Gaza, Israeli strikes have killed 37 Palestinians today, including 24 in Gaza City. Here's Mohammed Al-Bayari, who was displaced and sheltering in Gaza City, borrowed a cart from his neighbor to try and pack his belongings, is now preparing to flee the area with his family.
The camp is crowded with displaced people from all the families, from Beit Hanun, the camp, Jabalia, Beit Lahia. They all fled. They fled without preparation. The tents were burnt. Most people just fled due to the strike on the bank. It threw us onto the ground. May God make things easier. Only God will help us in this situation.
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu arrived in court Tuesday to testify in his corruption trial. He's facing three corruption cases. Yesterday, he was questioned about changing the law on Israelis living abroad to accommodate the Israeli Hollywood mogul Arnon Milchan in exchange for gifts. Netanyahu also announced he'll be visiting the White House this month again after the UN General Assembly. It'll be Netanyahu's fourth visit to the White House since President Trump took office. Meanwhile, Spain's canceled a major arms contract worth nearly $825 million for Israeli-designed rocket launchers. That's according to a document reviewed by Agence France-Presse, AFP. It comes as Netanyahu held a news conference yesterday stressing the need for Israel to develop its own weapons industry as more countries sanction Israel over its assault on Gaza.
So we are going to produce an independent arms industry, very powerful, very strong, that can withstand any kind of international political constraints and will provide security for the state of Israel.
Meanwhile, thousands of protesters in Jerusalem yesterday took to the streets and marched to Netanyahu's residence, calling for an end to Israel's war on Gaza.
We are demonstrating here. You know that to convince our crooked government to stop the war and release the hostages. Very simple. And also to release our country from a crooked regime that is destroying the country, although they don't have a majority in the public.
The Israeli military launched airstrikes on Yemen again, on the port of Hodeidah yesterday. The spokesperson for the Houthis said air defense systems have been activated and prevented an Israeli assault on Yemen. Israel and the Houthis have traded attacks since Israel launched its assault on the Gaza Strip in October 2023. Meanwhile, hundreds attended funeral services in Sana'a yesterday for the 31 journalists who were killed in Israeli airstrikes last week. The Committee to Protect Journalists told the Associated Press they were still working to verify the deaths of the journalists, saying, quote, "The information environment is highly restricted. Houthi authorities have imposed strict censorship, including a ban on sharing photos or videos related to the airstrikes," unquote. President Trump has arrived at Windsor Castle for his second state visit to the UK. Prior to his visit, images of Trump with convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein were projected onto Windsor Castle last night. Four people were arrested. Protesters also displayed a massive banner of Trump and Epstein outside the castle. Protesters took to the streets of Windsor yesterday to demonstrate against Trump's visit to the United Kingdom.
His actions and his inactions are causing instability in the world, overturning the world order that we've got used to. He could have stopped the war in Ukraine. He could stop the war in Gaza if he wanted to. I don't understand why he doesn't want to. He's the most dangerous man in the world.
Prosecutors in Utah are vowing to seek the death penalty for the accused assassin of conservative activist Charlie Kirk. On Tuesday, the accused shooter, Tyler Robinson, made his first court appearance by video from the Utah County Jail. He's being charged with aggravated murder and six other counts for fatally shooting Kirk last week at Utah Valley University. Prosecutors also released the transcripts of text messages Robinson allegedly sent to his roommate, who is also his romantic partner. In one of the alleged messages, Robinson wrote about Charlie Kirk, quote, saying, "I had enough of his hatred. Some hate can't be negotiated out," unquote. Robinson reportedly also left a note for his roommate that read, quote, "I had the opportunity to take out Charlie Kirk, and I'm going to take it," unquote. In response to Charlie Kirk's killing, the Trump administration is threatening to wage a broad assault on progressive organizations. On Monday, Attorney General Pam Bondi said the DOJ would prosecute hate speech, but she later walked back the comment after facing bipartisan pushback. On Tuesday, President Trump threatened ABC News reporter Jonathan Carl after he asked Trump about free speech.
And what do you make Pam Bondi saying she's going to go after hate speech? A lot of your allies say hate speech is free speech.
You probably go after people like you because you treat me so unfairly. It's hate. You have a lot of hate in your heart. Maybe they'll come after ABC. Well, ABC paid me $16 million recently for a form of hate speech, right? Your company paid me $16 million for a form of hate speech. So maybe they'll have to go after you.
President Trump has also filed a $15 billion defamation lawsuit against the New York Times and publisher Penguin Random House. The lawsuit is aimed at the book Lucky Loser, How Donald Trump Squandered His Father's Fortune and Created the Illusion of Success, written by two New York Times reporters, Russ Bootner and Suzanne Craig, as well as three Times articles and an editorial prior to the 2024 election saying Trump was unfit for office. FBI Director Kash Patel repeatedly clashed with Senate Democrats during an oversight hearing Tuesday. Patel was criticized for his handling of the Charlie Kirk assassination probe, the Jeffrey Epstein case, and for his overall record at the FBI. Three former senior FBI officials recently sued Patel, alleging they were fired as part of a campaign of retribution. This is New Jersey Democratic Senator Cory Booker clashing with Patel.
My God.
If you want to talk about
dividing this country,
it is my time.
I follow you on your social media posts.
It is
my
time
apart.
To address your falsehoods.
Oh, you can try all you want
in this country
to not take responsibility
time.
For what you,
you
have
your
said.
Time.
Sir, you're
your
making
time
a mockery of this committee. Sir, you don't tell me my time is over.
You
the people of New Jersey tell me what my time is.
In Minnesota, a special election was held Tuesday to fill the seat of Melissa Hortman, the former Minnesota House Speaker who was assassinated at her home in June along with her husband. Democrat XP Lee won Tuesday's election with almost 61% of the vote. Lee's a former municipal council member and the son of Hmong refugees who fled Laos during the Vietnam War. In other news from Minnesota, Democratic Congressmember Ilhan Omar is facing backlash over her response to the death of Charlotte Kirk. On Monday, two House Republicans introduced resolutions to censure Omar and remove her from her congressional committees. The House of Representatives passed two bills yesterday to charge 14-year-olds in Washington, D.C. as adults and require judges to stick to mandatory minimum sentences for young offenders. Dozens of Democrats joined their Republican colleagues to pass the bills as President Trump continues his crackdown on the city. It comes as President Trump signed an executive order Monday deploying the National Guard to Memphis, Tennessee, while indicating Chicago and New Orleans could be next. In Florida, eight police officers have been fired after the Broward County Sheriff's Office investigated the handling of the case of Mary Gingles, the woman who was murdered by her husband. The investigation found the deputies failed to properly follow up on reports of domestic violence against Nathan Gingles, who carried out a triple homicide of his wife, her father, and her neighbor. The case has drawn fresh scrutiny over Florida's red flag laws to remove firearms from anyone who poses a danger to themselves and others. A New York judge has tossed out the terrorism charges against Luigi Mangione, who killed UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson last December. The other charges were kept in place, including a second-degree murder count. The judge's ruling spared Mangione of a possible mandatory life sentence without parole. Judge Gregory Caro wrote, quote, "While the defendant was clearly expressing an animus toward UnitedHealthcare and the healthcare industry generally, it does not follow that his goal was to intimidate and coerce a civilian population, and indeed, there was no evidence presented of such a goal," the judge said. The Georgia Supreme Court's declined to hear an appeal from Fulton County District Attorney Fannie Willis on a removal from Georgia's election interference case against President Trump over his effort to overturn the 2020 election. The ruling appears to guarantee the case against Trump will not move forward anytime soon, if ever. A new Global Witness report finds at least 146 land and environmental defenders were killed or disappeared last year, with the majority of the killings occurring in Latin America. Global Witness recorded 48 killings in Colombia, 20 in Guatemala, and 18 in Mexico. About a third of the land defenders killed last year were indigenous. In Mississippi, a 21-year-old black student at Delta State University was found hanging from a tree on campus Monday. Local officials say no foul play is suspected in Demartrevion Trey Reed's death, but his family's demanding an independent autopsy. The family's attorney, Ben Crump, said, quote, "Trey Reed was a young man full of promise and warmth, deeply loved and respected by all who knew him. We cannot accept vague conclusions when so many questions remain," unquote. A second Mississippi man was also found hanging on Monday, about 100 miles away in Vicksburg. Police have identified the man as Corey Zucatas, a 36-year-old white man who was unhoused. Vicksburg police say the two deaths are not related. Jerry Greenfield, co-founder of Ben & Jerry's Ice Cream, announced he's resigning after nearly 50 years, accusing the parent company, Unilever, of silencing Ben & Jerry's social mission. In a statement, Greenfield wrote, quote, "That independence, the very basis of our sale to Unilever, is gone. And it's happening at a time when our country's current administration is attacking civil rights, voting rights, the rights of immigrants, women, and the LGBTQ community," unquote. Last November, Ben & Jerry's filed a lawsuit against Unilever for silencing its statements in support of Palestinian refugees. Back in 2021, the company withdrew its products from Israeli settlements. And tributes are pouring in for Robert Redford, the legendary Oscar-winning director, actor, activist who died at the age of 89 at his home in Utah Tuesday. Redford was a longtime environmental activist who served for 50 years as a trustee of the Natural Resources Defense Council. He was also the creator of the Sundance Film Festival, which he helped grow into one of the largest independent film festivals in the world. We'll hear Robert Redford in his own words later in the broadcast. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman in New York, joined by Democracy Now!'s Juan Gonzalez in Chicago. Hi, Juan.
Hi, Amy, and welcome to all of our listeners and viewers across the country and around the world.
Israeli troops and tanks are pushing deeper into Gaza City as Israel continues its full-fledged military ground invasion for a second day, despite mounting international condemnation. Israel's military confirmed its air force and artillery units attacked Gaza City more than 150 times in the days before Israel's ground invasion, destroying homes, targeting areas that are densely populated by tent camps sheltering thousands of displaced Palestinians. Israeli strikes have killed dozens of people across Gaza just since dawn this morning, including children, most of them in Gaza City. Hundreds of thousands of people have been forced to flee the city, where nearly a million Palestinians were living among rubble and ruins ahead of Israel's ground offensive. Mohammed al-Bayari was interviewed as he prepared to leave the city with his family.
It is an issue of fear. I fear for my little ones only. I do not fear for the army or anyone. Death is death, but the little ones, they scream. We are used to the sound of shelling, to the sound of gunfire. We are used to it. It has become the norm, but the little ones, I cannot bear seeing them like that, torn apart.
Israel's ground invasion of Gaza City came a day after a UN inquiry found Israel's committed genocide in Gaza. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu held a news conference Tuesday stressing the need for Israel to develop its own weapons industry as more countries sanction Israel over its war on Gaza.
So we are going to produce an independent arms industry, very powerful, very strong, that can withstand any kind of international political constraints and will provide security for the state of Israel. This is what I envision for the state. It's going to continue to grow. It's going to continue to innovate. And it's going to continue to provide for our security and our prosperity.
Netanyahu also announced another visit to the White House this month after the UN General Assembly. It'll be his fourth trip to the White House since President Trump returned to office. For more, we're joined by two guests. We begin with Dr. Kathleen Gallagher, general surgeon based in North Dakota, currently volunteering at Nasser Hospital in Khan Yunis. She is a military veteran who served as a medic in Iraq and Afghanistan. She previously volunteered as a surgeon in Honduras and Ukraine. Dr. Gallagher arrived in Gaza September 2nd, is volunteering at Nasser Hospital for a month with the group Med Global. We thank you so much for being with us, even if the sound is a bit difficult and there's a delay. To be able to speak to you in Gaza is so unusual. The corporate media in this country hardly goes directly there. We want to hear your experience on the ground, Dr. Kathleen Gallagher, as the ground offensive by Israel has commenced.
Yes, ma'am. So thank you, Amy and Juan, for having me on the broadcast. It's an honor to share the story here. You know, so we're down in Khan Yunis, which is south of Gaza City, and so we're starting to see quite an influx of people evacuating from the north here at our hospital, which is one of two remaining functioning hospitals, tertiary centers in the country. Our emergency room is seeing anywhere from 200 to 400 patients a day. Our surgery team and my colleagues are doing anywhere from 4 to 10 major trauma surgeries every day. I crunched a few of the numbers of my own operations before starting this broadcast, and it's about an even split. About 52% of the patients that I'm operating on are GSWs, and the other half are explosive injuries. So we're seeing huge amounts of trauma here, and we expect it to escalate as people evacuate the north and have to seek aid at the humanitarian aid sites.
And doctor, I wanted to ask you, the Dutch newspaper, De Volkskrant, quoted 15 international doctors saying at least 114 Palestinian children had been had a single gunshot wound to their head or their chest. And the forensic experts are suggesting these injuries are deliberate. What have you been seeing in terms of injuries to children?
Yes, sir. So we have crunched those numbers as well. We've got about 40% of our patients are under 20. I would say probably 25% of those are under 12. I can confirm that we are seeing single shots to the head, neck, chest. My partner's down in the emergency room who are working absolutely tirelessly to stabilize these folks so they can survive to surgery, have reported to me that 2 days ago, they lost six children under 12 to single shots to the head. We have seen multiple isolated neck wounds, and I have operated on four separate people in the last 48 hours with wounds to the chest. And it's
little trouble with your
lethal shots. I have not seen any evidence that non-lethal means are being used on the ground there.
And you've worked as a volunteer medic in Ukraine and Honduras, as well as served in the U.S. military in Iraq and Afghanistan. How does Gaza compare?
This is worse than anything I've ever seen. The scale of destruction is something that I couldn't even comprehend before I got here. Everywhere you look, you see buildings, civic infrastructure just completely destroyed. And we're in Khan Yunis, which is one of the last sort of remaining cities that's still somewhat standing. You look south towards Rafah and there's nothing. You hear reports from Beit Hanun and there's nothing. Gaza City is on the way. The mass deep displacement of people is also really, really shocking. You know, everybody from Rafah has already been pushed north to the area around Khan Yunis, the middle area. People from Gaza City are coming this way. There is no more room. Everyone is living in tents. Somehow they manage to, the Palestinians are incredible. Somehow they manage to keep water, you know, trucks running, garbage trucks running. They're doing everything they can to maintain their society. But it's getting harder and harder every day. And I have an enormous amount of fear for that infrastructure as the refugees arrive from the north.
Dr. Kathleen Gallagher.
This is worse than anything I could possibly have imagined.
Dr. Gallagher, our last question to you is about this UN inquiry that's found this week. Israel has committed genocide during its nearly two-year assault on Gaza. It's the UN Independent International Commission of Inquiry on the Occupied Palestinian Territory. They put out a 72-page report that Israel's government's responsible for four of the five acts prohibited under the 1948 Genocide Convention. Of course, you are not a genocide expert. You are a medical doctor. But your reaction to this report as a frontline doctor in Gaza?
Yeah. Yeah, as you said, I'm not a genocide expert. But what I'm seeing here is evidence of a systematic destruction, as I said, of the civil infrastructure, the extermination of a people and a way of life. I don't know what else you call it. And I, as a parting message to my folks back home and to my fellow Americans, this is no longer a political issue. This is a question of right and wrong. And I encourage everyone at home to use any avenue possible to reach out to your representatives, to implore them, to beg them to do the right thing, to be a source of justice in the world, and to pressure the Israeli government to stop this senseless killing.
Dr. Kathleen Gallagher, I want to thank you for being with us. General surgeon based in Grand Forks, North Dakota, usually, but currently volunteering at Nasser Hospital in Khan Yunis, a military veteran who served as a medic in both Iraq and Afghanistan, also served in Honduras and Ukraine as a volunteer surgeon. Dr. Gallagher arrived at the beginning of the month and has been at Nasser Hospital with Med Global. This is Democracy Now! I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez. As we continue on Gaza, we go right now to Mohammed Shahada. He is a writer and analyst. He is from Gaza City. We thank you so much for being with us. First, though, I want to get your response to the Prime Minister, Netanyahu, speaking.
You have with Netanyahu is as soon as he started the ground invasion of Gaza City, he asked the court in Israel to reduce his appearances. He said, I cannot testify in court at the same time, and I cannot attend as many court hearings at the same time as we are launching a major operation in Gaza City. So that wraps up the essence of it. What you have is Netanyahu has done over the last 2 weeks, three things simultaneously: invade Gaza City to annihilate the largest urban space remaining there, destroy every home there one by one, as he stated, so that people would have nothing to return to and they would leave. And number two, bomb the negotiating table in Doha so that there is no one to sort of save Gaza diplomatically or through dialogue or negotiations. And number three, attack the Freedom Flotilla that is trying to bring food and aid into Gaza so that Gaza would be rendered entirely on its own in the face of a killing machine. And what you have right now is basically the IDF, literally this morning they were describing it themselves in the Israeli newspaper Wallah. They were saying they are swarming Gaza City right now with a huge... Sorry? They are basically swarming Gaza City right now with a huge amount of drones, as well as armored personnel carriers that have been robotized. They turned it into giant bombs. They fill it basically with explosive ammunition to the brim and send it and detonate it from a distance into largely populated and overcrowded areas. So my friend Ibrahim yesterday, he woke up to one of these robotized vehicles exploding underneath the building where he was sheltering with his family and in-laws. And he started running. Half of the building collapsed. The other half was intact. So he narrowly escaped death. And he just grabbed his four-year-old, his wife, and they started running until they reached the south of Gaza. Ever since, he's been calling me every a few minutes to ask, begging literally, to ask for a tent or for food. And I've been trying everywhere to find him something as simple as a tent to sleep in. And I couldn't find anything. So yesterday, we had three people dying from starvation in Gaza, in addition to the 60 people killed and murdered by the IDF throughout the Gaza Strip. What you have is basically right now about 370,000 people left Gaza City, according to Israel. And the Israeli newspaper Yedaot Ahronot headlined it with, it's a death march. It's a literal death march. Like my friend Ibrahim, he is now sleeping on the streets since yesterday, unable to provide any food or shelter for his family. That's why you have the overwhelming majority of people still in Gaza City, unable to leave, refusing to leave, because there's basically no place to go that would be safe or where they would be able to find shelter. And you have basically right now, the internet has been cut off from northern Gaza and Gaza City since this morning, as well as the continuous bombardment. It's like 9/11 style Israeli bombing of high-rise towers throughout the Gaza Strip, especially in Gaza City, to terrorize people into fleeing, while at the same time they understand that those people cannot flee. Yesterday, Israel called on a family to flee south. As soon as they took a car and tried to flee, they bombed them on the way, killing every single member of the family. So it's just extermination for the sake of extermination.
And Mohammed Shahada, the United Nations inquiry has found that Israel has committed genocide during this two-year assault on Gaza. What's the significance of this to you at this moment?
Well, it's way long overdue. It's not just UN officials, but I've heard it from European Union officials for the last 14 months, 15 months, where they have been saying behind closed doors that Israel has shown a clear intent to annihilate Gaza and finish off the Gaza question once and for all. Last year, around July, so exactly 14 months ago, I met with a European Union leader. And as soon as I entered the room, he circled his tablet, his personal iPad around the table to show satellite imagery that the EU has been collecting off Gaza neighborhood by neighborhood, and I kept zooming in to try to figure out anything. There was nothing recognizable. And the top European leader, he interjected and said, Israel is destroying and annihilating the urban space in Gaza. They are destroying everything there so that as soon as the war stops, people would have no option but to leave, which is the literal definition of genocide. Either you stay and perish, or you leave where you cannot exist as a group anymore. And nonetheless, those officials, same officials, would go in front of a camera and say, no, there's no genocide happening at the moment. So what you have now with the UN decision, it makes it way more difficult for those shameless frauds to deny the effect on the ground when you have this wall-to-wall consensus from the UN to Amnesty International, Human Rights Watch, and even Israel's own physicians.